How many sins did you commit? How many lies did you tell? How many things wrong did you do? I'm glad we don't have to go about talking about that, confessing that daily over and over. Songwriter said, "My sins that were many." Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Nailed him to his cross, my cross, the cross he bore for us. Oh, the writer would say, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Tonight we're free because he loved us enough to die for us. Oh, thank God tonight. I believe a God who loved us that much is interested in our day-to-day affairs too. There are people in the world who do not believe, they believe in a God, but they do not believe that he is involved in the day-to-day life of his people. But I believe God is a very present help in trouble, don't you? I believe he's aware of us. I believe he is engraving us on the palm of his hand. I know that he knows me, and I know that he knows you. Thank the Lord tonight for a great God who loved me enough. He bore my sins that were many. Oh, my, my. I wouldn't even go into detail to tell you how many. But praise the Lord. They're nailed to his cross. Thank the Lord for that freedom, that righteousness that he brought to us. Well, I want, if you'll allow me, to maybe continue with some thoughts we had today. Felt impressed to go ahead and maybe try to bring that little thought to a stopping place. Because, and it's not because I'm a minister only. It's because I'm a human being. And I really believe that Job had it right. Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I believe without the help of the Lord, that's going to be the lot of every one of us, some way or another. I feel like as I journey along the path of life, not only do I see my burdens, but I also see people that are in trouble. And I see the people, the mankind that God created, wasting our time on troubles. But folks, I don't want to make light of them. And I don't want to say they're non-existent. And they're not powerful. They are. They're tremendous influences. But I feel like mankind, and I'm not speaking of just us, has allowed troubles to surmount the hope and the peace and the joy that God has for us. And I want to attack that, not in my righteousness, because I promise you that I have to fight troubles too. But I believe God has something better for us than to get caught up on the whirlwind and the merry-go-round of troubles. To feel like there's no way off, to feel like that we just got to bear them, feel like the injustices of the life and the things that I encounter are so great that they demand my attention. I'm convinced God demands our attention. I'm convinced our worship to God should be first, paramount, foremost in everything. And I believe in so letting him be God and letting him to be my present help in trouble, my very present help, that I can go beyond what troubles me, what assaults me, what tempts me, what tries me, what has hurt my feelings, what has come against me in a way that if I dwell on it, like we said this morning, will rob me of what God has for me. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like thieves, and I don't like to be stolen from. Fortunately, I've been blessed that I have had very few things stolen. But you know, every time I've had something stolen, nothing of great value, I suppose, it never has left me feeling, wow, I hope they do that again. But it's always been a trouble to me. I don't want Satan to come along and steal from me the joy of my salvation and get me caught up in trouble. So my little burden today is being, Lord, help us as God's people to put our troubles, our cares on the Lord. Leave them there. Jesus Christ himself, when he looked at all that he was facing, all the injustices that he himself was facing, all the emotions and the feelings. He knew who he was, knew where he came from, knew what was about to happen to him, knew he was innocent. And he suffered it, and he said he committed himself to a faithful creator. God help you and me. Now, please don't think, again, I'm minimizing trouble. But God's got something better than for me and you to get locked in a battle with trouble. He's got to have an escape. And he said, Paul wrote, he would make a way of escape. We might be able to bear it. Some of the scriptures we read, of course, was one that God is our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. And this word present in the Hebrew, the part that I want to maybe focus in on a little bit tonight is to cause to come upon. And that means that God is very well able to come upon the scene and be on the scene in our times of trouble. We spoke about over in Isaiah about fear not, I am with thee. Now we want to talk a little more about that tonight. The fact that God is with us, does that mean anything to us? When I face my anxiety, when I face my trouble, when I face those things that cause me to be in a tizzy, in a turmoil, in a tumult, that really cause me to fall on my knees before God. And they can be anything, can they not? Do I realize tonight that in Isaiah the Lord said, fear not, I am with thee. Folks, he is a very present help in trouble. It's critical for us as God's people, as his trees of righteousness. If we're going to bear fruit for God, we've got to believe in all our heart that, and it's critical that God is a present help and he is with us. Now, if we don't, it's going to be hard to cast on him. It's going to be hard to trust him. We read in Hosea in a couple of places where the people did not consider in their heart and how their own doings, their own actions had beset them. I wonder how many times our troubles can be traced back to us, to our own person. Granted, there are many and myriads of problems. But you know, it's sometimes how we respond and how we handle life that is going to dictate whether there will be trouble or not. What did the Bible say? What does the Bible say? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. But you know, there's a lot of people in this world that hasn't learned that yet. And they believe if something grievous is said to them, well, they'll say something grievous right back. Have you ever seen two parties that are arguing ever come to a real peaceful agreement? Rarely will you find that. But the Bible said a soft answer turneth away wrath. One of the Bible verses, I guess my mother thought I argued or something because she drummed that one into me. But I remember it from my childhood. A soft answer turns away wrath. You know, there's parts then that we play, and that was another thing we talked about this morning. We have a part in whether we are in where Job said he was at the time, full of troubles. It's how we handle what has happened by the grace of God and by the power of God. But the people he was speaking of in Hosea, they forgot to consider their own heart. They looked around them and they saw the heathen. They saw all this going on. They said, let's join in with it. And he said, you weren't considering your own self and your own heart. And now your own doings have beset you about. That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? But you know, there's going to be a lot of people go to hell because of their own doings. Go there blaming everybody but themselves. You know, we blame the devil and he is the source of all evil. But folks, he hadn't got power over God. He hasn't got power over the Holy Ghost. He hasn't got power over the blood. Jesus is greater than the devil. And I don't know that I would want to go to the judgment saying the devil made me do it. But you know what? We allow the devil. We permit the devil to cause us trouble many times. Oh, I know accidents happen. I know things beyond our control happen. But what's it do to our heart? We still, I believe this with all my heart, by the grace of God, have jurisdiction of what goes on in here. And that's the only man I've figured out that I've got any true control over. I can, by the grace of God, apply the grace of God to my heart. I cannot take it and say, here, brother, it is yours. Take it and use it. It doesn't work that way, does it? But I can take it into my heart. And my troubles can be reduced. And the problems that's associated with it, and all the emotions, can be healed when I take the Word of God. We read also in Hosea 13th chapter that the dear folks had destroyed themselves. That'd be kind of a sad note to go through life bustling and fussing and jumping in on everything and then all to find out you're just destroying yourself in the process. You know, the Lord speaks against being a busybody, about being a talebearer, going around to spread mischief. The Lord condemns that kind of action. You know, when we do those kind of things and stir up trouble and then kind of jump into a passel of trouble, you know, we're just destroying our own selves. One time when I was a boy, this is a simple illustration. I was maybe a junior, sophomore, I guess, in high school. And these two boys got in a fight on the grounds. And there's this little bit of teacher, she wasn't big as a minute. And she decided she needed to break them up. So she started hollering at them. And, of course, she had sense enough to stay back far enough. And she was saying, "Somebody stop them! Somebody stop them!" I said, "Okay, I'll stop them." So I walked up behind this one guy and was going to grab him in the, around the shoulders and pull him back. About that time he reared back, I caught an elbow in the eye. And I got the only black eye out of the fight. And I wasn't even in the fight. I learned a lesson. Throw water on them. Say don't do it, but don't you jump in there amongst them. Because you're going to get hurt too. Troubles. You know, we need to pray for troubles. We need to pray for situations. But Lord, help us not to go investigating trouble. Because it's going to come our way anyway. But it destroyed the people. Their own doings, their own ways. They destroyed themselves with it. Well, we talked a little too about the heart. One scripture we didn't mention is that out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. And he said in Matthew 15, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. So our heart then becomes a very real place and a very necessary place and a place that you and I do well to consider. We read in James, the fourth chapter where talked about in James, he said, whence comes wars and fightings among you, squabbles, battles perhaps, warfares even. And he said they come from your desires or your lust, those lusts that are warring against holiness and warring against righteousness and warring against stability. And those things come and inevitably, and I wonder if George Bush has understood this. I'm not getting into politics. But did you know wars can be a terribly frustrating thing? We learned a lesson at the cost of 50,000, over 50,000 young men in Vietnam. But we didn't learn the lesson. We're going to make the world safe, and we're going to get those communists out of Vietnam. You know what? War can be a terribly frustrating thing. And it cost the lives of over 50,000 men to prove what the Bible already knew, that it's frustrating. Troubles, warfare, inner conflict, outer conflict, rarely ever is settled by human intervention. It is settled when men learn to be at peace with God and when men allow that abiding peace to be the paramount thing in their life. And they then rise up above, they rise up above the insults that come against us and the troubles. I believe tonight, saints, with all my heart, there is peace in the midst of trouble. There is peace in the storms of life. But we have a part to play. We have something we also have to do. One, it's critical that we believe that God is a present help at that moment, at that time. So I find troubles as we enter into them and try to work them out, become very, very frustrating. I'd like to speak a little tonight, starting in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and the 10th and the 12th verse. I mentioned this briefly this morning. I'm talking about victory now over troubles. Victory over troubles. Not letting them destroy me. Not in letting troubles beset me about. And my own doings be the source of my own downfall. And I really believe, folks, and I think there's Bible for it, that if a man goes to hell, it'll be his own doings. It'll be because he chose that. Maybe he was deceived. Maybe this happened. Maybe that happened. But it's because one did not avail himself of the grace of God and did not plead the blood and was not saved. And it won't be that man can say he, she, or they, or the government. It'll be because they chose not to let the Lord be their help, their strength, and their refuge. And they failed to run to Him, but they took life and said, I'm in charge. And folks, that's one of the worst things that we could ever do. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, the 10th and the 11th, 12th verse, 3 and 10. And now, this is John the Baptist, and now now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. We know that root is the foundation. You take the roots out of a tree of some kind, and don't care how majestic it is, it will topple. If you let the roots be undermined, the tree will topple. You let a strong enough wind catch the leaves in a big tree, and it'll pull up the roots. The roots are the foundation. God wants to go down into the foundation. He doesn't want a surface experience with you and me. He wants us not just to look at problems in the sense of an irritation or an aggravation, but He wants us to understand the deadliness of them. And He also wants us not to look on the things that happen because of our problems as someone else's fault, but the battle is here in our life, and the battle is here in our heart. So John the Baptist said, with Christ's advent, this is a time now we're going a little deeper than we've ever gone before. We're not going to go here an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I've got something better for you. I'm going to teach you how, and I'm going to let the Lord, rather, is going to teach you how to turn the other cheek. He's going to teach you about forgiveness. He's going to teach you about mercy. He's going to teach you about loving your enemies. He's going to teach you about praying for them that despitefully use you. Have you ever thought about those recourses in your trouble? Have you ever thought about what the Lord said when you fall into divers temptations? Have you ever thought, and I'm saying that to us collectively, how often we look at our troubles and we fail to remember what the Lord said to do. Pray for them who despitefully use you. He didn't say get mad at them. He didn't say go talk about them. He didn't say get even with them. He didn't say pout at them. He didn't say to have and harbor ill will to them. He said pray for them. He said love your enemies. He didn't say kill them. He didn't say wish harm on them. He didn't try to magnify the problem and justify one's own thinking. I'm speaking as a man, but folks, that's what we do in problems. We want to vindicate our cause. And that's wrong, folks. We'll get ourselves just a little deeper in the ditch. We've got to say, Lord, forgive them. They were crucifying Him, laughing at Him, mocking Him, scoffing Him, spitting on Him, stealing His clothes, gambling for His raiments. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do we not understand that problems arise because of spiritual blindness? The ills of this world are not something God said, I'm going to pour out ills. But it's a result of spiritual blindness of mankind. Consequently, pray for them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And if they get saved, They'd make a good brother or a good sister. Or if it's in the church and they've done me what I think is wrong, Lord, it's your battle. I give it to you. I don't say this lightheartedly. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take consecration. But that's what Jesus Christ did. We're called to be His servants, called to be trees of righteousness. The axe goes a little deeper now than just cutting off and leaving a stump. But it goes down to the heart of man. It goes down to who we are and where we really come from. It said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's rather a sobering thought. The seasons of our life he speaks about in Psalms, the first chapter. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, nor whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Who has control over the seasons of your life? Surely not you or me. And we never know what a season's going to bring. Our dear brother Inman had a headache and was taking a little nap. And for the Inman family, the season came of sorrow. We have no forecast, really, of what the season's going to be. Maybe joy, maybe a buffeting. We don't know. Maybe a disagreement, maybe a lighthearted moment, maybe a sweet visit from God, or maybe a serious problem. But listen to what he said. Those that are planted by the tree, by the water, shall bring forth fruit in his season. Lord, help us that when we are buffeted and when we have trouble, that right in the midst of that, we bring forth fruit. I believe when the one of old Paul maybe spoke about being called with a high calling, that's an understatement. To think of the calling of Christ, that you and me are to bear fruit when we don't feel like bearing fruit, when it seems like everything around us is not worthy of fruit, folks, we weren't worthy of it either. And he bore fruit for us. God help us as his people in the seasons of our life to bear fruit to God. We got to be planted by that river of water. We'll try to get there tonight. We've got to have that river of water in us. He said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit. Do we understand tonight the solemnness of what he's saying here? That's you and me. He's not talking about oak trees and sycamore trees. He's talking about humans who fail to bring forth fruit, good fruit, to the glory of God. It's hewn down, cast in the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thank the Lord tonight for victory. Thank the Lord for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for the purging, the cleansing, the washing of the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for the removing of the dross and the chaff out of our lives. Thank the Lord that he's willing to come down into the heart and cleanse it and purify it and abide there. Now he is a very present help in trouble. Why? Because he lives in us. That's where we want to get in our life with Christ, in our life that is full of trouble, is Christ abiding, Christ living, Christ reigning in us. Then when we are assaulted, then when there seems like there's trouble, then when it feels like I need to mix myself up in that, we can cry out to the Lord for the grace, the wisdom, the help, the understanding, not to do anything that would dishonor or not bring glory to the God of heaven. not only will we find peace in ourselves in so doing, but we'll be a blessing to others. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Have you ever gotten mixed up in something and then said, "Whoops, what am I doing here?" I have, and I've repented. And the Bible said, not to the man that jumps in there and straightens everybody out, or defends his territory, or vindicates himself and proves himself right at any cost. No, not him. Blessed is the peacemaker. They're going to be called the children of God. He said of this Holy Ghost, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. God wants to come into our hearts tonight, and he wants to purge our hearts. He wants to purge us of dross. He wants to purge us of ourselves. He wants to get out that man that rises up. He wants to get out of us that old man that likes to pout or contend for his way, who seem like they just enjoy trouble, seem like they enjoy a good scuffle, seem like they enjoy proving somebody else wrong. God wants to come in and make peacemakers and gentlemen and gentle ladies out of us. He wants to come and make children of God, trees of righteousness, bearing fruit under the Most High God. We can't do that in ourselves, folks. The only thing we know to do is defense, and then go on the offense when we get the opportunity. Oh, Lord, help us to know how to be trees of righteousness, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Don't expect God to purge Saddam Hussein and this guy over in Iraq that's causing all the trouble. Don't expect God to clean up the internet. Don't expect God to close all the bars. Don't expect God to come in. You know, I am no prophet and I'm no seer. And to what degree God was involved in Hurricane Katrina, I don't really know. Was it retribution? Perhaps. But I know this, the filthiest district in the whole place was left back in Venice a few days later. Don't expect God to clean up Bourbon Street. He is going to purge his floor, it said. That's you and me. He's going to perfect us. He is going to make us ripe to go to heaven. We're going to be fruit to his glory. He's not going to come in and clean up this old world. I have no hope. I wish I did, and I wish it was so, that this world is going to get better, but I don't think it is. But God can make saints out of sinners. God can go into the heart of troubled waters and thoroughly purge his threshing room floor. His floor. Was it David? He went and bought the threshing place and dedicated it to the Lord, and it became the Lord's threshing room floor. That's what God wants it to be in my life and your life. You want to avoid trouble? Well, I'm sorry, you're probably not going to do that. But it's how we handle trouble. It's what we do with it when it comes and knocking. May the Lord help us to be challenged tonight. He will thoroughly purge the floor and gather his wheat into the garner. Praise the Lord. We can be the Lord's wheat tonight. We don't have to be tares. We don't have to be that way. We don't have to be like the world. We can be a peculiar people set apart for divine service, a divine purpose, a divine call. We can be men and women that glorify God, and he will gather the wheat. That's you and me that are saved and stay saved into the garner. But he will burn the chaff, with unquenchable fire. Thank the Lord tonight. Over in Acts 1 and 8, as Jesus was ascending, he said, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you." Folks, what I'm talking about tonight is humanly impossible. You know, every now and then, you'll find a man or a woman who seems to be so congenial, maybe by birth, maybe by practice. But folks, the heart of man is still there. and it still needs the thorough cleansing. And living above trouble and not succumbing to its ways is humanly impossible for man. We need the power then of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have it. It'll give us wisdom. Don't you remember that? He will lead us into all truth. He is a source of wisdom because He speaks of Christ and of God. And He tells us how we ought to live, how we ought to behave, and gives us the power to do just that. His office applies the blood of Christ to our heart, that we can have a new heart, that we can have a new spirit, and the old will be taken away. He said in Ezekiel that He would cause us or enable us then to walk in His statutes, walk in His ways. So may the Lord help us tonight to recognize what I'm talking about is humanly impossible. Don't even really try it. We'll falter. We'll fail. Then we'll get disappointed. We need a relationship. We term it sanctification. Peter said sanctification through the Spirit. It's a Bible term. Perfect love, it's called. Two works of grace, it's called. It goes by different names. But it is the indwelling Spirit in the presence of the Almighty God that enables us to rise above trouble. And that's the only way that I have yet to find, and especially in the Word of God. He said, you'll be endued with power from on high. I want to read something He said in the book of Joel. Just pick up a couple of thoughts here. Joel 2 and 2:1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mount. Then he goes on down into the 28th verse of Joel. And he said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You read in Acts, right after Pentecost, and the great demonstration of the power of God and the Holy Ghost, where they were thought to be drunk. Peter told the people that they were not drunk as they supposed, but this that happened there on the day of Pentecost was a definite work of God, a grace of God in the heart, and Peter referred them back to these same verses in Joel. I'm thinking now about man and our great need, and that God is a very present help in trouble, and that the Lord wants to lay the axe to the root of the trees, and how the Lord wants you and me to receive power of the Holy Ghost to come and live in us and indwell in us, and how He comes to want to give us wisdom and knowledge and victory over troubles to cause us to walk or enable us to walk in His statutes, how He wants to give us a new heart, how He wants to thoroughly purge the threshing room floor, that when you and me feel the assault of life, there's something in us greater than the assault, greater than the injustice, greater than that thing that we so want to defend ourselves over. When you and I feel a great compulsion to go to war, something that will allow us to be peacemakers instead, that's what God is saying, I'm going to do for you. I'm thinking of what He said in Joel now. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Lord, help us to hear the rally, hear the call, hear the invitation. This sounding of the trumpet was meant to gain man's attention. May we, as God's saints, may God totally have our attention tonight. We are called with an extremely high calling. We are called with a holy calling. We are called entirely to be the Lord's and not our own. We have been bought with a terrible, terrible price. We are to glorify God and Him alone. There's no flesh and blood going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Yet people today live like the flesh and blood is the only thing. Folks, it's all over with. But our soul is eternally bound and it'll live forever. Oh, God, help us not to jeopardize that with trouble. Know how to handle trouble. Know what to do with trouble. Know what God is there for. Know the Holy Spirit is there. Sound the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Oh, be awakened to what God has done for us. Come out of our troubles. Come out of those things that torment us. And lay them at the feet of the Lord. He will give us power over them because He's promised it. That's why I know. He said, you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come on you. God promised it, and He can't lie. So may the Lord help us this night. Oh, that we would receive. Again, troubles. We got them. They affect us. They're real, and they hurt, and we cry, and we bleed. But folks, we can't succumb to them. We can't get down on their level and operate. We've got to stay above trouble. We can't let trouble rule in us. We can't let it rule, or we'll destroy ourselves. We'll just beset ourselves about. I want to go now to Isaiah, the second chapter, a moment. I'm sorry. Yes, Isaiah, the second chapter. First five verses. This is beautiful to me. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now, we know Judah and Jerusalem were the prince of the Lord. They were His holy city. They were His chosen people. His delight was there. And God gave Isaiah prophecy. And we know the last days. Hebrews speaks of the last days. God has spoken to us by His Son. And He said in the second verse, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." God loves His church. God loves His people. And He has taught us that we are to be called a peculiar, set apart, consecrated, trees of righteousness people. And God has established it. It's His doings. He's the foundation. And we that build on it will not be confounded or not be ashamed. And He said, "The mountain, the great city of God shall the Lord shall be established above everything man has ever invented." That's my words. Above everything man thinks that he might be able to do and how he's going to handle problems. And God's going to establish a superior way, a greater way. And He says, as He went on, "And it shall be exalted." How's it going to be exalted? One way is by you and me that live it. If there is trouble brewing, and I get into that trouble, or let that, and I don't mean just between people. I'm just talking about trouble, whatever it comes, in our mind, in our hearts, where it is, any kind of trouble. And we get in and let that trouble start being lived out of us, we've ceased to glorify God. What have we better than the mountains all around us? Folks, there's some people out there that live a pretty good life. And they teach a pretty high standard. But He said the mountain of the Lord was to be exalted above all those other mountains. We have to be very careful. We that profess the name of God should be very careful. Because if that trouble becomes evident in our life, in our expressions, folks, we've not shown forth praise to God. And if that happens, we're not cut off, but we're jeopardizing our experience, and we need to go to God and say, "I'm sorry. Forgive me. May Your fan thoroughly purge Your threshing room floor. May You, Lord, have preeminence. Give me the power of Your Holy Spirit that I not answer in the means that I was answered in." And many people shall go and say, third verse, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Why? I believe God wants us to be a city set on a hill. He wants us to be on display. He wants you and me to offer something better than what the world has to offer. He wants you and me to offer Christ in the flesh, Christ in the spirit, by a meek conversation, by a generous conversation, by a conversation of forgiveness, of a sensitive life. He wants you and me to demonstrate Him when there's trouble around and being a peacemaker. When you and I are fearful and people know something bad's happening to us and we display courage where fear seems to be the thing that's called for. God wants us to display Him at those times. And He said, why would people want to come? Because they saw you or they saw me in a time when everything was shaken, standing firm, standing true. Not ugly, not carnal, just standing. Being an example right there, taking the slaps, taking the blows, but not entering into the conflict. He said men and women will want to come to Zion. We say not many. Well, if it's one, isn't it worth it? And let us go up to the house, mountain of the Lord. Brother Clifford told me one time, he said, professed Christianity has done more to harm the cause of Christ than all the bars and the pool rooms and etc. around. Think about it. People who have a profession without a possession, they do damage, folks. If I tell you I'm a Christian and then someone cheats me, I get in there and get in his eye. Think about it. If something's happening to me and I'm telling you that I'm a Christian and that I'm going to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and I'm going to cast all my cares on Him and then something happens and it really shakes me and I'm really afraid and if I lose it and I go out of control and not able by the grace of God to regroup that, what's that going to do to the cause of Christ? See what I mean? Lord, help us. Don't let this trouble get in your heart. Let not, He said, your heart be troubled. And ye will teach us, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the people will say, to the house of the God of Jacob. And we will teach. He will teach us His ways. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight God is willing to teach us His ways that are higher, nobler, and holy? Aren't you glad the God of heaven will teach you how to behave, not just in this situation occurs, I want you to do thus, thus, and thus. Not that kind of behaving, but by having the presence of the power of God. Aren't you glad He'll teach us by the Holy Ghost and the Word? Aren't you glad He'll teach us His way? Now, folks, if I'm going to be taught His way, I've got to unlearn my way. Just got to do it. And I tell you the best way to do it is kind of like Paul. I know that it is me, in me, that is the flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So we need to be careful what we think of ourselves. Not too highly. Not too lifted up. Man can really get in trouble doing that. In me, the flesh absolutely amounts to zero, filthy rags. Our hope is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our victory is the Christ in us, the Holy Ghost in us. The solution to our problems is not me being wiser, smarter, stronger, faster, more power, more guns. It's God in me and God in you. That's the solution that will please God. That's the solution that we can go to heaven with. That's the solution we won't be ashamed at the day of judgment with. He'll teach us His ways and we will walk in His paths. Praise God. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against another nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Taking our old swords and our spears and saying, here, Lord, can you use this? No. If you live by that sword, you're going to die by that. So, oh, Lord, I don't want to die. Can you use it? I can use it if you'll give it to me and let's turn it into plowshares. Turn it into something beautiful, productive, something that'll bring life. By all means, Lord, take my sword, take my spears, take my defenses, take my rights, take everything that I think I know, and I consecrate it to you. As people learn, as we learn about God, we've got to be willing to turn loose of our defenses and who we think we are and turn it over to God for His jurisdiction. And that's what was going to happen. He said they're going to take their swords and they're going to turn them and beat them into plowshares, it says in another place in the Bible. Take those pruning hooks and they're going to spears and turn them into pruning hooks, making something beautiful out of the vineyard. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. How many wars have been fought, I wonder, so man learned not to go to war? Isn't that something? Kind of an oxymoron, a paradox or something? Robert E. Lee, general in the Confederate Army, said this. Said it's a good thing that war is so terrible, lest we begin to enjoy it. Think about that. It almost appears that people enjoy trouble. Think about it. Something to think about. Fifth verse. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. What a pleasant What a pleasant community. What a pleasant communion. Along a dark and gloomy path, I groped beneath the shades of death. No hope beyond my dying breath, till light from the Savior came. My darkness now is passed away. In Jesus all is perfect day. And peace and comfort ever stay, since Christ is my perfect light. In the light of God, now my soul is singing, all is bright. In the light of God, I'm now in the light of God. That's the call of God tonight. It's been the call of God through the ages. It's been the call of God since the gospel. O house of Jacob, come. Surrender your weapons. Surrender yourself and your defenses. Surrender your rights. Surrender your righteousness. Surrender yourself. O house of Jacob, O children of God, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And folks, that's pleasant. That's beautiful. There's things that I have learned the hard way, and this is one of them. When I was saved, I didn't come here with all this knowledge, and I still don't have that much. And God began to work, and God began to show, God began to demonstrate, teach, and I began to see. That was a fruitless encounter. That fear and that dread, that didn't help me, didn't help the cause, and it didn't happen after all. To be able then to say, the Lord, you're my help. You're my very present help in trouble. I want to trust in you. I want to believe in you. Oh, praise God tonight that we can walk in the light of the Lord if we want to. If we'll sell our troubles, sell ourselves and our troubles give over, and we'll find righteousness, and we'll find peace, and we'll find joy in the Holy Ghost. But it's only as we allow our heart to be occupied by Christ. The only way I know of. John 7:37. If any man thirst, Christ cried out, then come to me and drink. And out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Speaking of the Holy Ghost. If any man's thirsty, if any man among us, woman among us, the man on the street, the guy at the grocery store, the woman that teaches school or works in the bank or has a house full of children, if you're thirsty, if they're thirsty, folks, we got some good news to tell them. We can sell those things and get rid of them. We can bring our spears and our weapons and turn them into prison. And those troubles that were so absorbing can lose their power. They can lose their strength. And then we can begin to walk in a new way, in a new dimension, in the light of God. So tonight, if we're thirsty, and I don't say that just for tonight, when you get thirsty, because chances are before we leave here, we'll get thirsty. We'll need a good drink from the fountain of living waters. And we don't have to go way out there or way somewhere else or fill up the baptistry and get baptized again. He said it'll flow out of your innermost being, out of your belly. Christ, God, is a present help, very present right there in the time of trouble. Isn't the plan of salvation beautiful? It's right there. It's right there. It's right here. And it can be ours. And then when I get thirsty, I can go to the Lord for drink. When I get accosted, when I get in a defensive mode, when I get to thinking, that's it. I can say, no. I remember some things the Lord said. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to say, Lord, I need a drink. And it's going to be right there, that fountain of living water. You pray for me.